I really do. But I work hard. And it's for Jesus and y'all's part that y'all have in what I do. I'm telling you, we're getting something done. Y'all see, I bought me a pretty new shirt for y'all first. Belt matches, the belt matches, the aqua in the shirt. You see that? Well, it's pretty to me. I figure that's probably all that matters. Now, y'all going to have to understand the thing. I've really been touched. Really, really. There's a whole lot of stuff to talk to y'all about. First of all, Mrs. Hogan and myself are on our 34th year. Will you please stand up, Mrs. Hogan? Let them see you still with me. And my whole family is here, including our new son-in-law. Will y'all stand up, please? And the other men, I'm going to give them an opportunity when we get a turn here in the next couple of days to talk a little bit. Some of those guys, we've been working together soon be 25 years. I don't know what that was, yeah? But last time I was over here, a couple of years ago, and then a couple of years before that, and a couple of years before that, I was always just coming back from Europe, and it's the same this time. Y'all, heaven has flat opened it up for us. I don't even know. Whatever you want to hear, I'm good to talk about it. Whatever nation, I found a few holes in the armor, in the church's power out there now. And we got to fix it. And while I was over yonder just now, I made two trips back to back to Europe. But just now, I started in August and I just finished it. And I'm tired a little bit, physically, not spiritually, but physically. And but we really have had some miracles. And all of Africa has opened to us, every nation. All of the Middle East. All of Asia. And all of South America. So I honestly don't know what I'm going to do. There just isn't enough time. Mexico's doing well. Churches are blowing up everywhere. We got hundreds of churches now instead of a few dozen here and there. There's hundreds. Since I've been in Mexico, the work I've been working in, we're over 500 that we've started. That's a good thing. All right? There's thousands and thousands of believers. There's hundreds of dead raisins. We're going to be hearing a lot about that. I'll be calling up some of these guys in the next few days as Brother Rod and the elders here give me opportunity. And we're going to talk about dead raising. And we're going to talk about healing the sick, casting out devils. And we're going to talk about how, because see, God spoke to me, and I'll tell you, this thing is just churning in me. I'll tell you. And I apologize to you that I come here every time and I'm lit up and I blow you clean off the map. I do. And I do apologize about that. But this ain't going to be no different. So something has happened that's very great, it's outstanding, it's awesome, it's in Spanish the word you use is tremendo. And heaven has allowed me something. Alright, you see what I am, I'm a mule riding preacher. I got horses and mules. And I go to church, like he said this morning, you know, about climbing them hills. They're getting bigger every year. And I still go to them. But now I have to have horses and mules to help me out mostly. And I understand that that's who I am. There's not one nation that I'm not controversial in. There's not one church that I don't cause problems in. In its own purpose. I hate the devil. I hate complacency. It's a killer. It'll put us in hell. And I'm not here to offend you. That's the last thing on my mind. I don't want that. My offense is against hell. I am a soldier and I'm a good one. I have figured that out. And I got one commander and a whole bunch of captains that talk to me. And heaven has talked to me. I've got something in me that I've got to get to you. And I'm going to use it here first. Because I also have a lot of respect for you all. And honor you too. Brother Rod, I love you, man. Thank you for believing in us. Well, I'll tell you what, we're real. Regardless of everything that's happened over the years and all the controversy and all the different things that goes on, that's nothing but hype from the devil to try to disappoint everybody. Because there's something we got to do, and we're going to do it. You know, I just spent quite a few days over in Spain. Well, I tell you, it's lonely without Miss Hogan. You know, I have to go travel a lot. She just can't take all the pressure of all them flights and all that time and all that. And that's all right. What she does, she does a good job at, and that's take care of me. But I want all y'all to understand something. There's something that's got to go on. I found a place called Spain. And I was running around over there preaching because I speak fluent Spanish. And we was having a good time, people getting saved everywhere. Gypsies coming out of the woodwork, getting healed and blessed. You know what they told me? I sat down, we was doing a pastor's meeting one morning, and I was sitting there talking to them. And you know what they told us? That Spain, just Spain, no other nation included, just Spain, there are 4,000 cities of 50,000 or greater that does not have a gospel witness. You want to tell me that's the will of God? I know you. I was listening this morning, you know, and I know that we do it one at a time. That's how our ministry has got so much influence, is because we started and we still are a one at a time bunch of folks. But something's got to be done about those 50,000 people, 4,000 churches. I mean, 4,000 cities. You hear me? And I'm going to tell you whose responsibility it is. It's yours. Every man, woman, child sitting in this room right here. I'm excited. I really am. I appreciate everything. You know, all the work you've done on your building looks nice. Then I went up into Germany. I preach all over West Germany. And all over. I mean, every town, everywhere. But they decided they wanted to work me a little bit. So they put me in I think it was four of us, up there by Poland. Actually, I think, couldn't we almost see Poland from where our room was? That's how close we were. We were on the Baltic Sea up there, very north. And there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of villages and townships in East Germany that don't have one born-again person. You know, I can sit here and I can quote a bunch of stuff to you. I saw this with my own eyes. I saw them weeping when we'd get in the van and drive off. Because God's filled us with power and anointing. Every service, people born again and healed. Every service. Every service, in every hard nation that there is over there. God blessed us, and it happened. All right? Jay, Sean, how many was born again that first trip? 250-something? Close to 260. And the first trip, this is in Germany and England. And where else we go? Switzerland. And in the second trip, I believe there was around 330. Is that right, Brother Ron, Jody? We was in 9 or 8 other nations there. Every service, preaching every night, sometimes 2-3 times a day, you know, preaching, going, traveling. In 5 weeks, we did 8,500 kilometers. Works out to be close to 6,000 miles. In 5 weeks, and that's preaching 2-3 times a day, you know, and I am not a complainer, but I can't do this by myself. I'm gonna try, and I'm gonna work till I die. I'm gonna go to the end believing I can. And I need you, but I'll do it without you. Isn't that something? What a statement to make. God wants us working together. God wants us doing this, and it's the will of God for us to be united and be full of the Holy Ghost and energetic and everything else that goes along with it, you know, and all that. But I'll tell you, I don't like the loneliness. I don't like it. It's a bad feeling. But guess what I've learned to do? Live with it. I like walking. I like being in the prayer lines with the prostitutes and the junkies. And I'm looking at you and asking you, do you think it'd work for me? And you go, no. I know it will. Give me your hand. And as soon as you touch them, the Holy Ghost slaps them in the next year. Boom. I like that, you see. But as a church, you as a believer, we got something we got to do. Okay? On the way over here, I was preaching at Brother Larry's last weekend. And on the way, I was over in San Antonio and met with a man. There's a man from Pakistan over there. He invited me to come over there to his work. They have 2,500 house churches in Pakistan. For you to get born again, they'll kill you there. Isn't that something? And they're going to let, God's going to let me go there to Pakistan. I'm getting to go to Libya, Egypt, Jordan, Bhutan, Nepal, India. I'm going now. See? You didn't want it. I do. See, we started on a mule in Mexico. Now God's give us the world. And I'm absolutely going to take it. I don't give one flip about your beliefs. I haven't seen where they're useful because they don't work. You got the latest songs, you got the latest way to worship God, but you don't have the latest power. Now you know I'm going to talk about that. Because we got to upgrade. And what we're going to talk about here for a couple of days, whether it suits your fancy or not, because I know it's the will of God. It's called the standard. The standard of God. See, our standard is one thing. We look to certain people. I got people look at me, and I got a standard, and they go, "Wow, I can't attain to that." Anybody can attain to the standard I got because Jesus gave it to me. But the standard I have is not what's correct. What's correct is the standard of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to understand that I am a blessed person. I'm fixing to be all over the Middle East, all over Africa, all over Asia. All over South America, listen, these numbers are staggering. There's a meeting set up right now in Manaus, Brazil, that I'm fortunate to get to go to and preach at. And they got the largest building in all of Brazil, and already there are registered 10,000 pastors. What an opportunity to speak into 10,000 pastors, huh? And speak fire into the lives of these people that are on fire, going out in the jungle and going up in the mountains and going all over cities everywhere. I know how to reach them, Brother Doug. It's called nationals. Get them full of the Holy Ghost and let them go. Let's just say something about this. Our work is into a new, something new is happening to our work. God has unleashed a power into our work, and the young, let's see, it's the third generation people. It's not the leadership that I work with. We're working, we're pioneering still, yes. It's not the pastors under those men. It's their sons that I'm talking about. You know what they're doing? Stand up, Joseph. What are they doing? You hear what he said? They're going out being missionaries in their own nation. They're leaving their houses, homes, mamas and daddies, and they don't have reserve backing them to go. They only have Jesus. They go and they stay, and they don't have houses, and they don't have all the great backing and the great knowledge and the everything else. We're their only source. But they are opening. You have any idea how many churches in the last few months they've opened up? About a dozen churches in the last few months these guys have gone out and just opened up out in, I mean, these places are out there. And we got to understand. You got to understand. God wants to use you, but you're not the only kid on the block. You need to understand that the Holy Ghost wants you getting a new standard in your spirit of His mercy, grace, and honor and power. I'm telling you, the heavens are opening up. I was in a conference in Tübingen, Germany, right by Stuttgart, and a man came from Croatia. And he came up to me. I need to talk to you. I'm from Croatia. I flew overnight, all night, to get here to talk to you. And now, I'm flying back. So we had a meeting. I sat down with him. Now listen to this. In the nation of Croatia, the whole nation, there's 48 Holy Ghost churches in the whole nation. 48. And they all got together and sent that man to have a meeting with me. And I asked him, I said, there's lots of people way more educated, way more capable, have greater understandings of European ideas and backgrounds and history and everything. Why us? At best, we can ride a mule pretty good. Brother David, we need the power of God. That's all we need, and that seems to be all you want to give. We are known all over the Europe, all over the Middle East, all over the Africa as people that love people and give them the power of God. Teach them how to heal the sick and raise the dead. That's what we've got to be that. That's who you've got to be. This thing Brother Rod spoke on this morning, getting you one. That's an awesome, that is, do it. Please, this thing would double in 1 month if you listen to that man, what he said this morning. 1 month, this place would be double inside. You wouldn't build fast enough if you'd listen. Be in Italy, Luxembourg, Andorra, all nations, you don't hear about them much. Be preaching here pretty soon. Miss Hogan's got women's meetings all over the place. They try to get me to let her preach, and I won't. She can't have women's meetings, though. Now listen. I really want you to hear me. I'm not here to put pressure on you to be like us or to set a goal or a standard that you can't attain to because you can. In Christ Jesus, we can do this. I'm telling you, in Jesus, we can do this. The numbers are staggering. We are outmanned, outgunned, outfinanced. Yes, 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 yes. So what? Duh! Give me a thimble of water and let's attack hell. What you say? Come on! All right. Let's look over here in Ezekiel. Now, I've been studying Ezekiel for a long time. And I didn't know, I didn't have one cotton-picking idea. Why? But then all of a sudden it just jumped out on me. It got me. I am overcome. And I want you to be that way. I want you to be overcome. You need to feel what I feel. I'm looking at these people. You know what they told me? I got Sean, Jay, Jody, Ron, Luis, y'all stand up. Every time we left a church, were they not crying and begging us, please help us? Is that true or not? Thank you. Please help us. Our brother's in Mexico. Where's Brother David? When's he coming back? They can't have him. Ezekiel chapter 27. Now I'm going to say a couple of hard statements here. I'm going to actually quote my brother Ezekiel. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. Is that okay with y'all? Y'all good or not? I'm supposed to be telling y'all all kind of numbers and everything, but I don't want to. I want to preach the gospel. And I want to start from right now hooking a track jack, for the ones of y'all that understand what that is, on the standard and start jacking that thing. Let's go up with this standard of God's church and His power in the church. The standard has got to be raised. And it starts with me. I don't feel adequate to preach this to you. I don't feel like I even understand what I'm trying to say for the most part of what I'm going to be saying. I'm serious. But I want it so bad, and we're close, and I know we are. There is a sweep. Just like the enemy has prepared all this demon hordes, and the sweep of power and energy is in place, and any moment it could be unleashed on the whole world, and we know that. But I tell you, in the Holy Ghost, there is a prepared sweep of God's power. I know it's to be real. A couple of verses in Ezekiel. Where y'all at? 27? Y'all went too far. Go back to 22. Ezekiel 22, verse 26 in the Amplified. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no difference. Listen, I'm telling you, There's so many different. What am I doing wrong? Okay, all right, we good. All right, I tell you, I'm energized. That's all I know to tell you. I got the Holy Ghost, buddy, and you're gonna have to live with it. Ha! In the Amplified Bible, Ezekiel 22, verse 26, it says, They have made no distinction between the sacred and the secular. Now then, church, I apologize to you. But you're not going to raise the dead looking like the world. There is a difference between God's holy power, God's holy of holies, God's holy mercy, God's holy grace, and listen to this word, God's love. I'm a soldier. I come to you from battle. I'm hardened from battle. My sword is cleaved to my hand. And all I can do is look at you and laugh. Woo! I have demon blood dripping off me. And I have the shield of faith in my hand. And I'm looking at the wall of God's people. And I'm looking at the enemy. And we're the only thing between them and taking the flock of God. I know I'm rugged. I understand I'm brash and aggressive. If you saw it like I see it, you'd light me on fire more. They can't have my... Corbin, come here. Come here, boy. That's my grandson. How you doing, little brother? You okay? Don't be afraid of nothing. Papa's right here. You see this? They can't have it. Do you understand? Cody, come up here. See if she'll dare do it. Come here, Jasmine. Come up here, kids. Come see Papa. Come on, don't be afraid, y'all. Come on, girls. Come on, see Papa. Here, girls, hold my hand. Hey, babies. Here, baby, get my hand. This is good. Just walk with Papa. Come on. You see this? They can't have it. You see these babies? They will be trained in the art of war. You see it? These are my babies. And they can't have them. Okay, go see your daddy. Go ahead. It's all right. Think y'all did good. There is a difference in the secular and the sacred Holy Ghost power. There ain't no mixing it. I am separate. I am different. And I'm happy to acknowledge to you that I still am. But see, the other day we was in a place called, how do you say it, son? Agen, France. In the south of France, right on the Spanish border. About 500 and some odd folks in the room. About 100 and some odd of them was gypsies. Holy Ghost came in there with us. And there was a lady up there. She was blind. She had these things look like scales on her eyeballs. Some sort of, don't know what it was, to tell you the truth. Never seen it before. We preached the gospel to them folks. She comes up in there and got born again. See, in France, where you say it can't happen, that one night, 75 people got born again. One night. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost did that. We're praying. There's several pastors in our team. We were praying in a massive prayer line. It was, people were trying to rip our clothes off of us. I mean, I mean, it's amazing. They want Jesus in France. Regardless of what you hear. Is that true or not? Brother Ron, stand up and tell them whether it's true or not. Yeah. He is there. We prayed for these people, and right in front of all of us, these things that were on her eyes and attached to her and blinded her, they fell off on the ground. God opened the eyes of the blind in France. France! Hello? France! Ultra-modern, ultra-liberal... Jesus loves France. Jesus wants to heal people everywhere. Deaf lady, same meeting. Her ears opened up. She started hearing right in the middle of all of us. France. We are going to make a note. There is a difference in the sacred things of the Holy Ghost and the secular devil of this world. And I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to be loyal and obedient. And we're going to follow the leadership that God's put in this house. That's what you're going to do. And you're not going to be upset and mean and rude and crude and rebellious. And you think you got it so worked out? Jump outside and let's see the power of God. There's a difference in the secular and the sacred. And we have to make the distinction. We have to be the distinction. And it is costly. The reason we don't want to show it is because the price is too high. I do. Go to verse 30. Same chapter. I'm not making much headway with this, but I really tell you I'm supposed to, but I'm not. This is in the Amplified also, Ezekiel 22:30. I sought a man among them who would build up the wall. I want you to know the devil can't have the house of God. It ain't going to happen. God's looking for you. You have to take your place on the wall. You have to know the difference between the secular and the sacred. And you have to stand on that wall. And you got to remember them babies behind you. My grandbabies. The secular ain't having them. The demons are not going to get them. I'm a soldier. I stand in rank. I won't move in Jesus' name. Heaven's looking for someone to build up the wall and stand in the gap before me in the land that I should not destroy it. Church of the Most High God, we will stand in the gap. And we will know the difference between the secular and the sacred. People get confused. Because of the nice little ball games. How much do little kids like all that stuff? Nice little old round pumpkins with little eyeballs cut in them. Little innocent candies and things. And little rabbits that are 6 feet tall that jump down the mall. All of you secular demons that have mixed up in the church. And you can't, you look at the church, you don't see no difference in the world. There's a difference between us and them. It's called the precious covenant of the blood of Jesus. It cost God His Son to give us the power and the energy and the Holy Ghost. I was over yonder in Idaho. What's the name of that place I was in over there? Chalice. They had such a place, right? Yeah. That's where I was at, right, Miss Hogan? Y'all gotta wait a minute. Holy Ghost is speaking to me, so I'm gonna write it down. Don't forget it. And there was a man come up there. All right. See, the majority of you sitting in here, the majority of you, percentage-wise, the majority, you're okay. You know where your next meal is. You got your jobs figured out, sorted out. You're looking for a better one, but meantime, you're going to be all right. It's okay, it is. It's okay. It's okay. Everybody's not like that, you know. The problem is you're comfortable. And I am the first to tell you I'm an American. But I am the first to tell you that America's not right. America is deep in sin. God's given us a reprieve with this man. Is our leader right now. We have another section of time to repent this nation. And we got to use it wisely. There's this fellow walked up to me, Brother Stephen. I got through preaching and I was sitting down in the prayer line praying like some of them preachers was. And he walked over and he looked at me. I mean, he touched my nose, actually, with his nose. He's looking at me. Big boy. Big old boy. And I mean, he's touching my nose with his nose. He's just looking at me. He said, "It seems like you believe what you was just saying." His hair was about that long, or a little bit, 4 or 5 inches down past his shoulder. He's Native American. Clinton tribe. British Columbia. He said, "You think your God can help me?" I said, "Absolutely." Matter of fact, while I was in Vietnam, one of my buddies stepped on a mine, cost him his life. Shrapnel hit all of us, took me out. I woke up in a hospital. Ever since Vietnam, I've been taking 3 shots a day of morphine, 38 milligrams. Anybody understand what I just said to you? Handful of pills. He says to me, "Brother David," now you listen to what he says to me. I'm going to be telling you this statement right here quite a bit because it's happening to me nearly every day of my life. Now I preach all the time now. And nearly every night I get asked this. Ready? He looked me right in the, this is serious. "Help me, please." All right, now, if I don't know the difference between the secular and the sacred, how am I going to help the man? I'm not Look at me. Do I look bad? I'm happy. Look at Miss Hogan. Stand up, Miss Hogan. Tell her, oh, boy, man. I said, 34 years. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not mad. I'm right. I'm not mad. I'm not an angry little fella. I'm blessed fella. And I told him, yes, sir. Yes, sir, my God will help you. I'll do my best. See, God wants you. What Brother Rod was asking you this morning as a church, he wasn't asking you to outstep your bounds. You know, a guy like me, I'll ask you to take a nation, an entire nation. It don't matter how many millions are in there. Don't worry about any of the damages, any of the money. Just go get the thing and hush. That's how I view it. Give me a thimble. Hell's mine. I'll see you. I'm serious. But some of you are such crybabies. Brother Rod has to figure out a way to convince you. No, I'm going to get away with this. You couldn't. Brother Rod has to figure out a way to console you and coax you into doing something. Well, let me just tell you, if you don't, you're going to hell. How does that sound? Now, that's the coaxing you're going to get out of me. This fella has got these wounds from Vietnam in his body. He needs help. He don't need some jack-o'-lantern worshiping devil. All of a sudden going to get holy on him, turn it back on the jack-o'-lanterns. In Jesus' name, brother, praise the Lord, be healed, hallelujah. Praise God, brother. That's a person that don't know the difference between the secular and the sacred. And you need to know the difference. The difference is that man's going to die in pain, whereas a man full of the Holy Ghost can stop that pain. See, you can't see where that's any of your business. That's another one of the problems. Responsibility. The church is not responsible. Well, I am. I feel responsible. I told Brother Rod and Brother Raymond a while ago, I walked straight up to him. I said, I feel aggressive. You watch who gets healed in here tonight. This kind of aggression that I'm feeling and exemplifying just a smidgen of it to you will push on the gates of hell till they cave in. And they'll give up some of our souls. I am compelled by the blood of Jesus to heal the sick and cast out devils. And to go get me a one and pastor them. Hell can't have them. That ain't even in the program. Laid my hands on that man, the Holy Ghost hit us, hit both of us. He didn't give me a chance to run. He never even told me he's coming. He just hit the man, and when he did, he hit me too. Knocked us both cold out, cold. Boom. And he was a big boy, and I'm not the smallest one in the room either, and so we made a big hole when we failed. After a while, I came to, and I couldn't get up. No one will do. I got 600 folks to pray for. Why am I going to get... So I could crawl around, so I had to put their shoes together, Brother Rod. I was trying to coordinate the shoe colors and everything. And when you walk like I was, that's hard to do. Ms. Hogan had a hold of my belt. She was running me around like one of them lead dog things. A couple of days later, I was over yonder in Washington. That was in Idaho. And then 600 miles in the morning at 6 o'clock, Ms. Hogan and I were in the truck. And we was going down Interstate 95, we was gone. See ya. Had to go to Washington. Got to get set up in Seattle. Got a conference. We got to do this. Got to preach the gospel. Because there's people that want to hear it. There are people that are interested. And as long as there's somebody that'll hear me, I'm going to try to tell you the difference between the sacred and the secular. And I'm going to try to talk you into being that person to stand in the gap and build the wall that God can lean on and that God can depend on. That no matter how hard or how serious the battle, no matter how rough or how lonely or how little money, how much money, none of those things are important. What's valuable is you know how to stand your ground. And you know the difference in the sacred and the secular. And you can do the war of the Holy Ghost. Because they can't have them kids. It ain't happening. You understand or not? If you don't understand, I'll be glad to go over it again. Holy Ghost. I got all set up in that hotel room over yonder at Seattle. Ms. Hogan then went out. Telephone rings and some prince over yonder in Asia calls me up. Brother Rod, get this. What I'm fixing to tell y'all is amazing. This fella calls me up and he tells me, Daddy and the council are fixing to pass some laws and they want the Christian standard of God. And I'm going, do you know whose number you rang? I ride a mule for a living, man. He said, we know exactly who you are. I said, tell me how you got this number. He said, we just know how. That's good. Knowing how is a good thing. And they told me the subjects. And I said, could you give me an hour? I got to look on my computer for a few minutes. So they called me back, and sure enough, a big shot thing's going on here. Heaven is letting you help to direct nations. Are you listening to me? My job, technically, is I ride a mule in Mexico and preach the gospel to one of the top five poorest people in the world. That's technically what I do for a living. But that's only part of what I do for a living. God's got me on fire. See, I'm one of them people standing in the gap, telling the enemy, here we are. Come on. Let's just see what you got, big brother. Because what I got's better. Because I got the Holy Ghost. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. They called back and I told them what the Word of God said. I didn't say nothing about what I said. They hung up the phone. I went to church. Got to church, preached. Woman brought up this little baby. Now y'all listen to this. Yeah, listen to me very closely. They drove 400 and some odd miles to get there with this baby dying. That woman didn't hear a word I preached about. She ain't heard none of the music. She ain't seen how anybody's dressed. You don't know why? She has a different agenda than her being satisfied with the color of the carpet and what kind of music Brother Phil and them are singing. Because see, she is in need. She needs somebody that knows the difference between the sacred and the secular. Secular people worry that the carpet is too bright. Secular people do that. People that understand about sacred don't care about the color of the carpet. They care about that baby in that woman's arm. That baby's dying with cancer and there is no other hope. They done let it go from what's in that big fancy hospital. Yeah, it was either Mayo or Anderson. What is it? Anderson. I think you're probably right about that. There's nothing can be done. But there just might be something. There just might be one or two folks along the way that are still standing in the same gap they was put in. And they're still threatening the devil. No matter what color the hair turns. Don't matter how tall the mountains get. It matters that your hand is froze to that sword. And you're looking over the top of that shield of faith. And you got that helmet on. And you ain't moving. And you ain't going through me. But if I get to feel like it, I'm going to come take where you at. So back off and hush. That mama come up there. This is what lights me up. If it wasn't for all this kind of stuff, I'd be satisfied to wear them little old shoes with put the money in and, you know, and little pleated thing, breeches. Sit there with the proper... I would, probably. Maybe not. Who knows? Can't ever tell. But I'd be more apt to, wouldn't I? But that mama. See, it wasn't the baby. Nothing I can do for that baby. Heaven don't touch that baby. I can help pay for the funeral. That's about it, right? Dig the hole or something. But that mama, see. That's the problem. That's the problem. It drives me. It pushes me to know the difference in the sacred and the secular. Because that mama sitting there, she don't know what the last songs were saying. She don't know the verses I'm reading out of. She don't know any of those things. She's just standing there in that prayer line, looking down there at me, watching. She ain't sway, knock-you-outy, fiery, nothing. She's just sitting there. She's on a mission. And I got down that prayer line. She said, look at him. I drove a long way to see you. I said, that there's impressive. Why you need me? Because this baby right here is dead. If you can't do nothing about it, and it's my baby, and I want my baby. So, of course, what do you think the answer to that is, Brother Rod? I'll do my best. You know what heaven wants out of you? Now, see, I'm not a judge. I'm not somebody sitting up here putting oppression on you and forcing you. I'm somebody up here trying to tell you the difference between secular and sacred. I'm trying to convince you that we need people in the gap, people building the wall, somebody God can lean on and rely on over time, that your span of time here won't be misused, abused, and done without. I need you. This church needs you. Heaven needs you. But it needs you understanding the difference between the secular and the sacred. That baby needs somebody that knows how to stand in the gap and torture the enemy. That's just not afraid. That has a backbone. And I know you, you're Americans, you have a backbone. But you have to be slapped around just right to get that thing solid. And it's not my job to do that. It's my job to talk you into getting a backbone before we get slapped around. Come on. Come on. I took that little old baby. I think it was 3 or 4 different kinds of cancer on that thing. It was completely, y'all understand the word emaciated? It was destroyed. I felt so, that little old baby's face, I mean, it looked like you draped some sort of a, I don't know, cellophane over it instead of skin. It was so wore out from fighting. Had hoses running all out of it. Mama was just standing there, hands drooped down, shoulders slumped over, just weeping, boy. But I don't like that. That right there, that's enough. You understand? That does it for me. I'm in. Now you get my best. And sometimes, it's enough. And I walked with that baby down that prayer line praying for folks. God started hitting people and blowing them from one direction to the other. Because I done got in, you see. I done got enough. What is enough for you? See, it don't take much for me to get enough. I'm in quick. Used to, it took a lot more. I was a lot more satisfied than I am now. Now, I ain't got a satisfied bone in my body. But Brother Hogan, God's used you more than you ever have. Yep. More souls are getting born every night of your life. Yep. More churches than you ever dreamed of in Mexico. Yep. More people being raised from the dead, blinded eyes. Them boys are going to be start talking miracles. You're going, whoa, wow, whoa. Yep. It's true, you know. Why, calm down. Nope. I'm not satisfied. I'm not going to do it. I just can't see it. I don't know what makes a person be satisfied. I see these nations going to hell, and they just, you ought to see that Autobahn in Europe. It's far as you can, it's millions of cars, and nobody's born again. That's a sin. That's got to change. We change it. It ain't somebody else. It's us. We're the one that makes the difference. Okay? Gave that baby back to that mama. Next night I come up in there. You know, it's like always, I'm back over in yonder just sitting down, minding my own business. Don't participate with nobody. I'm on a mission myself, you see. I got something to say, and I'm going to say it straight as I can. That mama comes running over yonder, throw that baby in my lap. And that baby was alert. I said, what is happening here? Brother David, this baby ain't been like this in years. This baby's healed, Brother David. I said, you go have that thing verified. She went, had it verified. All them cancers are out of that baby. That baby is healed, healthy, and alive today, tonight. Come on. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. The difference in the sacred and the secular. There is one. Which one are you? That's not my, I don't point the finger. I just bring up the issue. Let the Holy Ghost point the finger where he's supposed to. Then that third night, that Isaiah, go over to Isaiah. Now, this is all I'm going to get right now, because it's already time for me. I feel like praying for folks. Because I feel like in the Holy Ghost, we're already making some headway here. There's three or four words here that make up raising this standard. Tomorrow night I'm going to go to the actual verse, but tonight I wanted to prep this thing up for the ones of y'all that are interested. Because there is some stuff going on. I know how rude and rough things are out there. I got it. I was down yonder eating me some raw oysters here the day before yesterday. I'm telling you, I can't tell you how many times I got attacked by the demons. And I'm just walking down through there looking for the oyster store. And then I took a chance and went to get a beignet and a muffaletta. Now, you wouldn't believe the demons. And they come on after me. But I'm the kind of fellow that turn and look at them and say, yeah, what can I do for you? Whatever you say is fine with me, baby. Let's do this. Problem is, I got the Holy Ghost. And you don't. See, them devils know the guy that got the difference figured out between the secular and the sacred. Isaiah 57, y'all over there yet? Is that what I told y'all? I think that ain't right. No, I think it is. No, we're good. We're good. I'm there. Isaiah 57. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Great Holy Ghost. I was sitting up there in that VIP room with them pastors. They'd never been in one of them before. Didn't know what a VIP room was really, but I found out. It's where they have all them pretty foods in circles, and they're beautiful. And my wife and kids are sitting there, and we was looking at all that food, and it was for us. Don't you touch a thing. That right there, we don't touch. That's too pretty. And the door blow open, and there's this wild man come running in yonder. This is the guy from Idaho done found me over in Seattle. And his hair is long, and I couldn't see who he was. It was all over his face. He was Indian, and he was acting like a wild one. Acting like me. Where's Brother Hogan? I kind of crouched down over and hid behind the pastor by sitting by. So I don't guess regular folks are supposed to be allowed in VIP rooms. I didn't know, it's a law or something. I don't know where the laws are made, but there's books on this stuff somewhere, Brother Rod. I never have found one yet. And I keep asking for them. Like, my wife's got this book of these things. And these women, y'all got a book. And I keep asking for that book so I can learn what I'm supposed to do and not do. Hadn't had one produced yet. And so, he moved his hair out the way and I looked and it was Raven. It was that Indian man. I said, here I am. He come over there and he got on his knees. He put his head down on my knees. Started weeping like a little kid. You know what he was telling me? Thank you. Thank you. Now listen, Brother Rod. I know that there's a better way than I've chosen. I know it is. But it don't get Raven healed. And it don't get that baby healed. That man looked up at me with tears in his eyes. Not only did God take away the pain and his need, his addiction to morphine was big, took all that away from him, but after all these 30-something years or 28-something years of pain and suffering, God, not only did he heal that internal part of that wound, he healed the scars. There ain't any. After all them years of suffering, he ran into Jesus. Isn't that nice? See, to me, that's nice. To me, that's nice. To me. It's worth it to know the difference in the sacred and the secular. To be one that'll stand with the armor of God on and not flinch. No matter what comes, no matter how many years, no matter what I'm asked to do, it's all right. It don't matter how many mountains I have to ride on my horse, it's all right. I'm good. I really am. Inside, it's okay.
It's okay.
See, I was up there in England, Manchester, England. And they brought me to a castle. And I'm sitting there. And I went up in that castle. There was Welsh pastors. There was Scottish pastors. There were Irish pastors. There were English pastors. There were French pastors. There were German pastors. There were Polish pastors. There were pastors from, I think, 14 or 15 different European nations in there. You know what they wanted out of me? Not the latest American fashion or the Dow or the or what President Bush is going to do or not do, or what Kerry's going to do or not do, or what... That's not what they wanted out of me. You know what they wanted out of me? Teach us how to reach our nation with the power of God. Okay. Well, first of all, you got to quit fighting. Because in here, I noticed over the last 2,000 or 3,000 years, there's been lots of ruckuses going on around here. That all has to be dropped. You can't have your way. You can't have your way of thinking. Your personal agenda has to be set aside. You want the power of God? I'm good. But to get it, you've got to have the Holy Ghost. And that takes somebody willing to stand in the gap, in the cold, the heat, the snot, and the knot. You listening? Y'all hearing me? I was wondering. You hearing me? Should have seen the Holy Ghost nailing them people. And you ought to have seen them getting knocked around all over the house. And the word of the Lord coming forth and prophesying. And there's going to be 14 or 15 nations changed by a handful of people from a castle. Y'all listening? It's easy. You have to decide to be the one that God chooses to let Him choose you to stand in the gap. That's all. There is no great hard plan or scheme to get it done. That's all there is to it. And when I figured that out, I figured I can do that. That's not too hard. I can do that. Look at what this says in Isaiah 57. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, this is not going fast. Isaiah 57:12. This is what God says in the Amplified. It says, I will expose your pretended righteousness. Hello. Somewhere along the way, we're going to have to be real and we're going to have to be serious. Okay? Is anybody listening? You can learn how to be a Christian and you won't be one. We got to keep ourselves contrite and humble in our spirit, in our hearts, and in our minds to the Holy Ghost. I will expose your pretended righteousness and your doings. But watch this. They, that is the secular that has such a grip on you. They will not help you. To get real help, you need the Holy Ghost. You need the love and mercy of the church of the real living God. That's what you need. That's what I need. When you cry out, Let your rabble, I love this. Let your rabble collection help you. That is a good thing for me to learn. Let your jack-o'-lantern fix it for you. Y'all need me to keep going with some of these idols that y'all have adopted? Are y'all understanding it by now? I'm going to get myself in more trouble, but I'm used to it and I'm all right with it. Seems to make me feel better and sleep better at night when I tell the truth. Let your rabble collection of idols help you. I was over yonder in Ohio, Zanesville. First Assembly of God Church, and this guy comes up all dressed in black with dyed black hair and chunks of wood stuck in his ears. Boy, he's mad, fella. He had this stuff all painted on him. Supposed to be scared of him, I was. And I said to him, do you want to get born again? Because there ain't nobody like that. They ain't born again. He's the devil. He looked at me and said, butt out. I said, excuse me? That's one of them times I forgot to turn off the microphone and it was been a lot better had I. Now they got it on tape. How to handle a devil worshiper class 101. I said, ain't you down here to get born again? No. I said, first of all, you meant no, sir. Second of all, go to hell. And I didn't use the Hades word. You want hell, son? You by me. You and your rabble, help yourself. Brother Hogan, man, come on, give the kid some slack. I mean, you know, love. I got marks on my body that show love. You got calluses on your hind end from telling other people how to. Now, there's a difference, isn't there? Now then, I am not one angry little fellow. But ain't no devil got the right to show up in the house of God without a challenge. And only a man of power and of the Holy Ghost, we can stop that devil. That man cursed me out and took off running. And it was a whole lot Ms. Hogan could do to hold on to my belt and not let me follow that fella. Because I felt red coming up around my eye. He needed the talking to. Because he is wrong. As soon as that all happened, four of his constituents come running up there, and I thought, well, the party's on now, buddy. Because there's a smidgen bigger than he was. And there's four of them. I thought, now we're getting it more even. Four devil possessed up against one Christian, now it's getting better odds. Holy Ghost, I said, and what be the reason y'all come up here and occupying this space? There's enough of me to go around if that's what you're after. And you didn't include the Holy Ghost, and that's a big mistake. You know what the answer to me was? No, sir. We've been looking for somebody to stand up and tell the truth, and you just did. We want that Jesus you got. And right there, them people got born again, and you should have seen there was some mamas up in there, and y'all know what happened next, don't you? When mama got wind of her boy and the girl getting born again, you know, there's a good old reunion taking place. Mama got the darling back. Hell gave him up. You hear me? That's what this is all about. People's got to understand that the rabble collection of idols won't help you, but Jesus will. Jesus will. I'm talking about raising the standard. I'm talking about standing in the gap. I'm talking about understanding the difference between. What am I talking about the difference between? Oh, yeah, the secular and the what? Oh, yeah, the sacred. The secular and the sacred. Holy Ghost. Listen to this. But the wind will take it away. Y'all ever know what the wind is in Acts chapter 2? There was a wind what fell out of the sky on Pentecost. And there was a sound like that of a mighty rushing wind. The wind is coming into the house of the living God. And the wind will bring the breath of heaven. And it will help us and touch us and heal us. The Word of God says, "You will." The wind shall take them all. Look at this. A breath shall carry them away. He who takes refuge in me shall possess the land. So that's what I'm here to try to do. Get us to understand that you cannot go around with the rabble collection of idols and the secular and expect to walk in the inheritance of the power of the name of Jesus. There is a definite and clear difference between the two. And we as a church are going to stand in the righteousness of God's power. We as a church are going to raise the standard of God's anointing in our own lives personally. And we're going to reach out to our neighbors and show them the standard of God's mercy. And shall inherit my holy mountain Zion as the heavenly inheritance and spiritual Zion. And the word of one shall go forth. Cast up, prepare the way. Look at this. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of the spiritual return of my people. I tell you, there's a stumbling block being placed in the way of the secular church. It cannot have the power of God. It won't have the power of God. But the stumbling block will be removed because of the breath of heaven. And God's looking for the gap standard. That's me. God's looking for the one who's interested in getting the tentacles of hell out of your life. You are full of God. You are full of the Holy Ghost. There ain't no doubt in my mind. That's not the question. I haven't brought that up. But we will separate and raise the standard. And we'll do it voluntarily so that the breath of heaven, the wind of God will take the rabble off. And heaven's power will remain in the inheritance of God's holy mountain. For thus says the high one, the lofty one, verse 15, he who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high holy place, with him also who is of a thoroughly penitent and humble spirit. I want to be that person. I want to have a broken and contrite heart for myself, for you, and for the nations. You hear me? You know, I am tacked up about this, and you can tell it. And it's going to bring about some amazing power here in just a few minutes. Because we're on display here. I have come here to burn for you.